Hi, Vanessa. Hi, everybody, and welcome to our body balance implementation call. I think yesterday's email may have erroneously said it was our first implementation call. I caught that and I had her change it, but it was too late. So hopefully today's reminder didn't say first, it just said our call. So I'm excited to be here because, you know, I see a lot of chatter, and I don't see as much chitter chatter as I would like to be seeing. And I'd like to see more of like, how are you doing? Where are you getting to? Where are you stuck? And what, how can I support you? And I know that somebody yesterday wrote in and said, I did the assessments and something came up, blood sugar or whatever came up. What should I do now? And so I'm just going to put this out there for all of you. I laid this program out to be step by step. Now, you can skip over steps if you go, I'm doing that already. I'm already drinking my water and I'm already doing my whatever. I am going to mute all. Wait a minute.
Tape your tail to the driveway, right by my tire, and run back and forth.
Okay, how do I get there? All right, somebody's got something else going in the background. So I laid it out in the steps that I did. I'm still hearing somebody. What? I said mute all. Let me see who's still talking. Okay, it's good. Oh, Mila. There we go. So I laid it out in for a reason. Now, some of you already done some of it, right? Maybe you're training and you've done all the exercise parts, or you've done all you're meditating. You've been a meditator, a Zen Buddhist for, you know, the last 20 years. That piece, you can just go, okay, I've got that piece. But what I want to say is that don't just say, I showed up on my assessments with blood sugar problems, so therefore tell me what to do to fix that. Because that's not what we're here for. We're not here for this, for that approach. We're here to look at what are all the things that are out of balance in your body that we can put back in balance, and suddenly all the other pieces start to work. So I laid it out for a reason. I've been doing this for over 30 years. I've worked with, you know, between online and in-person, like tens of thousands of people, and seen some major results. And what I see is that people that just jump in and say, I'm going to do what you say. I'm just going to go through and do this in the order. Yes, we're going to customize it. Yes, we're going to tailor it. But when people do that, they get the best results. Some of you might have heard on some of our calls, Beatrice. Beatrice is a 72-year-old woman now. She started with me back when she was 65. She worked through Sweet Spot, and she had these issues. But she was focused on blood sugar because that's what her doctor told her was the problem. Well, she had a lot of other issues. She just followed along. She did the gut repair stuff. She did the elimination diet. She did the exercise. And if she had just been focused on what do I do for my blood sugar, she would have missed all these other pieces that were contributing to her blood sugar and everything else. So she'll say, she gets on calls and says, just listen to what she says. And I'm not like, listen to me blindly. It's not like I have a protocol that everybody follows. What I have is a process to go through and evaluate what you need. So what happened with her is about 3 or 4 months later, she lost 75 pounds and she was feeling really well. And she was testing her fasting blood sugar and it was looking great. Her after meals was great. Went back to a new doctor, moved to a new town, went to a doctor, brought in all her records from the previous doctor. And the doctor looked at her and looked at the chart and said, this looks like two different people. She says, well, it really is, because this is what I've done. And I feel like I'm way better. The doctor said, off all your medication. Let's test you in a month. And she had Hashimoto's diagnosed when she was 14 and she was 65. She had hypertension, was on medication for that. She'd had hip replacement and knee replacement just a year before because of a lot of inflammation in her body. And she was on cortisone because they said her pituitary had shut down and she needed that to stimulate her adrenals, or she was just going to be so fatigued she couldn't get out of bed. She went off all of that medication. And Dr. Renton redid her tests in a month and she was fine. She goes, oh, you must have never had Hashimoto's. She goes, no, you don't understand. I reversed it. No, Hashimoto's isn't reversible. But the thing is, she just followed through. Jane's another really good example too. It's just like, okay, I'm just going to follow along. I don't know if I have blood sugar issues. I don't know if I have fatty liver, but I'm just going to do these things to make sure I don't. And the results are just phenomenal for folks, right? And there's always pieces to go. So I just urge you, when you do your assessments, it's for you to know what's out of balance, because we're going to redo them before you even directly address those systems, before you go on a leaky gut protocol or a parasite cleansing protocol or a blood sugar protocol, we're going to look at how far have you come in just reversing that. And even on like some of the fitness assessments I have people do in the blood sugar and in the digestive, that's like, we're not actually making you do push-ups every day. We're not telling you to do this or that or the other thing. But people go, oh my God, I was only able to do a half a push-up at the beginning and now I can do four, right? Because you're working on the overall balance and strength in the body. So that's why I want like everybody to take a few deep breaths right now. I will venture to say that almost everybody that is on this program has either is or has been at some point in your life what I call a hypervigilant. Somebody who's like really wants to be do it right, wants to do it perfectly, and has a little fear around not doing it right. And I'm going to help you through this to say, breathe, right? You're not behind if you're only on step three in module one. You're not ahead if you've already finished module three. You are where you are for you. And it's super important to realize that and really accept who you are. So we're going to start this call, and I'm going to try to start all the calls this way with a little heart math. So if you don't know what that is, it means you haven't made it to part three in module one. And I encourage you, if you haven't, jump ahead to it. Sign up for the 30 days of messages that you'll get once a day from me, and then go back and work on the rest of it. Who's willing to do that? Who's already signed up for the 30 days of messages? Okay, so jump ahead, Karmjeet. And then let's do it. So let's start. I like to put my right hand over my heart, my left hand over my belly. So I'm focusing on my heart. I'm focusing on my breathing. And take some long, slow, deep breaths where you're pushing your belly out, which means that you're pushing your diaphragm down and it's filling up your lungs with air. Take a few breaths that way, and you may notice that if you haven't been practicing that, that it's different from how you usually breathe. Because when we're in stress mode, we breathe from up in our neck and in our upper chest muscles, and we're pulling the diaphragm up and down with those muscles, and they're not intended to. The diaphragm is a huge muscle, and it's intended to do the up and down and raise the rib cage up and down. When we get stressed and start to use the neck and the upper chest muscles, that's where we get all that tension in the neck and shoulders. So just keep taking some breaths. And as you're breathing, the next breath in, really focus on something, a place, a person, a situation you've had or fantasize about having where you feel really good and where you could say, wow, I just so appreciate that experience, that person, that place that happened in my life. And just go and sit with that for a few breaths. Sit with that feeling of appreciation. And as you do it, on your out breath, just feel your shoulders drop. And accentuate your out breath. That's where you go into what's called the parasympathetic nervous system, the part that's the rest, repose, rest, digest, as opposed to the sympathetic fight, flight. And so many of us are in fight flight all day long, just trying to live your life. So just for these moments, feel that appreciation and feel that softening in your body. And just when you're imagining these memories or these fantasies, go there with all your senses, your sight, your sound, your taste, your smell, your sensation on your skin. And just trick your nervous system to thinking you're really there. Because when you're in situations where you're relaxed and focused and at ease and grateful, it changes your biochemistry and it starts the healing of the biochemistry. So take one more deep, slow breath. Focus on just extending the out breath. And then open your eyes with the intention of bringing back that feeling and with the intention of being able to revisit that feeling as often as you like. And if you're like, well, it wasn't that different, it's because you haven't practiced. So set the intention of allowing yourself to be imperfect, allowing yourself to just be who you are, and allowing your body to heal without pushing it and getting angry with it, and getting frustrated with it. So just a few more breaths in. Bring that back, that feeling. And when you're ready to come back, just go ahead and type into the chat or raise your hand if you want to share. If you had an experience you want to share, raise your hand and we'll share it. Or just type in the chat. What does that feel like? What does that feel like to you? For me, I just feel, I feel a sense of calm and peace. That's what I feel. Anybody else want to share? If you want to do it out loud, you can. Exhaling feels expansive and whole, from Marsha. And Jane, you'll love my wonderful place. The other day in the sunshine with my hands in the dirt for the first time this spring and my feet bare in the dirt. Yay. And you look at your face. Look at the smile. Look at the joy that brings you. Think about the joy it brings you just to remember happy times. And what do we do? Because we're kind of programmed to do it from the media and all that. We tend to focus on all the bad stuff, right? What does the news show us? Not the wedding here and the birth here and the kitty that got saved from the tree here, but it shows us all the bad stuff. And we need to just shift our attention back to gratitude for our gifts and know that we're working on the other stuff. We're working on it. Patricia says, I'm using practice 8 days in a row. Yay, amazing dream last night that I think is related. I love it. I've had people who say that their husband or partner want to join them in this. They go, what are you doing? You just seem so much more relaxed. What have you been doing? And they share and then they do it together. I love that. Using practice. Okay, peace and content from Lisa. And Elizabeth, something. Yeah, you can repeat the transforming stress over and over. So it's 30 days and you're here with me for 9 months and you can do it 9 times. And then after you're done, you could just keep repeating it. So no worries on that. We don't cut you off. We want you to do that every day for the rest of your life. Yeah. So let's see. Barbara is grounded. Elizabeth says helps to relax. Just finished 30 days of it. And the talks were very helpful. Great. Awesome. Karmjeet says very settled and at ease. It was great. Like everything is going to be okay. Yeah, Vanessa. Everything is going to be okay. And the more we trust it, the more we bring that in. Yeah. Mila says she's having trouble with the muse. I also have difficulty with separating the foods. Is there a trick? Okay, so we'll get to be more specific as we go through. And there's lots of that stuff is great stuff to post in the Facebook group because there are people who have been on this journey for longer than you who have had probably similar challenges as they started and can give you something from their experience. And Sandra just joined us. Hi. Awesome. So grateful to have you all here. So my intent for these calls is to do a little training, if you will, but not really training, just some kind of like guidelines at the beginning, and then to open it up for questions and comments and sharing and getting support and sharing successes, which is just as important as asking for where you're struggling. I love reading, I just did this and it was successful, and oh, I did this and I had a challenge with it. I couldn't get the muse to work, or I can't figure out how to, you know, use the site. So we're here for you. So a couple of things I wanted to share, and I want to share my screen so I can show you in the site where I think you should be at right now, but there's no shoulds about it. And then I also want to share let me just share that first and then I'll share the other piece. I don't want to get ahead of myself. My mind tends to work faster than my mouth can keep up with it, and then my mouth tries to keep up with it, and then nobody gets it because you're like, that was 3 conversations in 1. What are you doing? So I'm going to just calm myself here. I get so excited. I get very excited. All right. So I'm going to open up the body balance and then I'm going to do my share screen. Share. And the share is, what screen is it? This one. All right. So this should look familiar to everybody, right? This is the what we call the dashboard of the program. And you've got the modules. The Get Started is all the housekeeping, you know, put our email addresses in, your safe senders, et cetera. We've got the Empower Your Inner Healer, which is, I think, where everybody is. If you've jumped past that, then, you know, I'd love to hear about that and what your experience has been. And Lynn, if there's a few people, when they're muted, I'll make sure that you're a co-host because I'm hearing some noise in the background and I do want people to be able to speak. Set it to go Mute participants on entry. I don't know why that doesn't work. All right, so let me see if Lynn can be made a co-host. And Annette's on. Hi, Annette. And Robin and Peter, a lot of folks here. Oh, there's Lynn. I found Lynn. I'm going to make you co-host. I don't know why it doesn't make you co-host anymore when you first get in, but who knows. Anyway, so this is where I expect most of you to be, because the way that module one was set up is that it's going to take a while to get through. Now, I would love to hear from you when we open up for questions, like where you are and what you need help with to move it forward. So I'm going to open this up. And it's set up in steps, and each step has a page. So many of you, most of you, I've heard from that have done your hormone assessments and your body system assessments. This isn't mandatory. This is just, it's good to have a starting point. Like, where are you right here at the beginning? So what are your numbers? And then just put them aside. And we'll discuss more what to do with them. And maybe I wasn't clear enough in there. Get them and put them aside. This is what's, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, blood sugar. I really have to focus on blood sugar. Oh, yeah, when we get to digestion, I really have to make sure I do the stuff for digestion. But we're not going to say, okay, your blood sugar was out of balance on your test. Therefore, I'm going to jump you ahead into blood sugar. That said, I will share with you something else in a bit. So assessments. The connect with your why, as Lynn said on our last call, was this is something we all think is the most important thing to do at the beginning of a program, because when we don't have that clear vision for where we're going, a lot of times we get like thrown off base by a party, a wedding, a funeral, life, and we just go down the beaten track. I keep my big why in front of me all the time, and my big why is to have vibrant energy, unstoppable energy all the time, no matter what. And to be able to be on with my mind and my heart connected so that I can help and support as many people in the world as I can. And if I go to McDonald's or I go out with a friend to a restaurant and I order the chicken fillet with breading and whatever, I know I'm going to feel like crap after that. Or I know that even if I don't feel bad after that, I know that it's doing something in my body with gluten antibodies and the sugars and the blood sugar. I don't want to take that chance. That's where I'd like all of you to get to. It may take you a while, but I want that commitment to your health. And that takes being committed to the outcome, but also trusting in the steps that are going to get you there. Okay? So I want to earn your trust as we go along. And this is the one I just talked about. If you want to skip right there, if you haven't done it, do it right now. If you have it in front of you, start the transforming stress activities. You don't have to read the whole page. I don't know where this little thing came from. Those lines, I don't know if you're seeing a red line on the screen. But yeah, it must be something in the annotate. There we go. Turn it back to eraser. Ching. Okay, there we go. So you just, all you have to do is right at the top of this page. Don't even have to look at the rest of the page. You can do that in order. Now I have to find my pointer. Where's my pointer? There we go, mouse. All right. And all you have to do is click this button and you'll start. I'm not going to click it because last time I showed you guys, I clicked it and I started my messages all over again. And so every time I do this, I end up with like multiple streams of messages. So anyway, all you have to do is click it. You don't have to put your name and email address. You just click it and it'll send it right to your inbox. Hey, welcome. The first one's about a half hour long because I'm explaining. And then all the others are short, except maybe the last one, which pulls it all together. Now, it explains a lot of the stuff on this page. So if you're a visual learner and you like to read, read the page and download the books. If you're auditory, we have some listening things on the page as well, right? We have a whole process through here. So you can get there. But right now, just do the transforming stress emails. All right. And then we have all the rest of these. So how many of you have made it through like this whole thing? I know some of you are up to green it up. I saw some people posting on that and reducing the toxic load. Yeah? Where are you up to, Lisa? You up to reduce the toxic load? Whoops, let me unmute you. There you go.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay. I started working on the digestion things and I need to do the 30-day leaky gut. I just got my first supplement today in the mail. So I'll start that in the up-and-coming week.
Wow.
And after I moved forward just in reading today for liver and gallbladder, but of course I'm going to spend the next 30 days on leaky gut.
Beautiful. So you made it through all these 12 steps then?
Yes.
Beautiful. Great. Right. And for some folks, like if it's new to, you know, start to eliminate certain foods, we spend a lot of time on the elimination diet. And I was planning a series of emails to start within the next few days to just guide you through it if you need the step by step. But that's great. That's awesome. That's very inspiring. Yeah. Super. But get through all of these before you start on the digestion. Yeah, we opened them all for you because we wanted you to be able to look around. But really, these things are going to be, these are in this module piece are things that are repeated in all of the others, right? So you'll be able to jump ahead when you get there, right? You remember seeing the digestion enhancing strategies, right? Breathe, et cetera. That's all in the digestion module. Super. Fantastic. Anybody else want to share where they're at in this process? Mila, you're reaching out. Were you trying to, Mila? Mila? How do you say it? Oh, try it. Huh. Okay, I'll try. Don't touch it at the same time. Oh, there you are. You're unmuted.
Mila.
Mila. Okay, Mila.
Yes. I got stuck on the separation of the foods. Up to there, I'm done.
So the elimination diet. Is that what you mean?
Yes.
Great. Great. Super. Super.
Super. Thank you.
Okay. So a lot of these other stuff are short unless it's something that's a real challenge for you. If you've already been working on it, then boom. The elimination diet's super important. And like I said, we'll send some emails out to guide you through it. But if you're ahead of where I'm at, no big deal. You're allowed to get ahead. And if you're not quite where I'm at, great. Just save the emails and come back and do them when you're ready, when you're in order. But one thing I don't want you to have is inaction. Don't let go. I don't know what to do next. Just move along. Six comes after five, comes seven comes after six, and just move along in that direction. Okay? If you've already done it, well, I already have an exercise program in place. You can look at it if you want. You can just skip it. I don't care. Doesn't matter. Okay? I don't know if we have, do we have the sheets on here? I think we have checklists. We have the ability for you to check off. Yeah, at the bottom of each page when you're finished. That way you know. So if you want to go in order and keep track, you can. And that way you know if you go away and you come back to a page that you know where you're at. All right, so that's that. The thing I wanted to say is, so module one is that. Module two is where Lisa is, which is in the digestion. And that would be the next one to go to. However, we have an opportunity for those of you who want to, you know, do blood sugar first. Doesn't matter because digestion and blood sugar work so much together and there's so much overlap that it's okay. We are starting our sweet spot program, which is just blood sugar, starting at the beginning, the end of April, the 28th or 30th is the kickoff for that. If any of you are interested in getting some extra support, which you get your calls, but they get every other week kind of calls to take them through and extra emails and stuff, then just let me know. Or actually, we'll send out an email and you can just click in the email and let us know that. There's a nominal fee for it just because it takes a lot of, you know, back end and you're going to get like 15 calls throughout the course of that time, three of which are the same as these and 12 of them are different. And it's just to guide you through. I have made some changes to the site for the blood sugar, and I have my web guy hasn't actually moved them into yours, but it looks like I'm going to have to hurry because I was thinking nobody was going to be up to that yet. But Lisa, we got 30 days on Lisa getting there. So, but basically in the foundations part, we just split things up a little bit more. That's really all the changes. And Marcia made a few typo errors and stuff on the metabolic reset. But we added some extra pieces to take you really step by step through it. So let us know if this is something that you want to start doing soon and you want to get involved with the live group. The live group, we'll send you an email with all the details and you can decide if it's something you want to do or if you just want to move along, you know, slow and steady wins the race here. Either way works for me. So does that sound reasonable? You might have seen some of the emails I've been sending to people about blood sugar, and we already have about 50 people registered for the next group for that, and I expect it to be a lot more because we just barely opened registration. But you guys can get in for, you know, just a nominal fee to just support us in our back-end work that has to happen to get you access to it. All right. So, any questions so far? Are there any steps that you feel like you want some help with? Because the step I was planning on just kind of really elaborating a little bit more on was the elimination diet, because that's the piece where there's a lot there. Some of these others you can do in a day or two and, you know, start the practices. The elimination diet's going to take a little longer.
I thought I would share that on the implementation calls, we also went over some of these pieces as well. So this is good review and good inspiration to and motivation to continue on and to keep going. But I just wanted you to know that
elimination diet on there.
No, because I knew you were going to. I brought it up. I showed him what the materials were, but not to the depth I know that you'll be going.
Okay, so I do want to get there because I think it's a critical piece. And it's a critical piece. Every single one of our other programs has at the beginning the elimination diet. And elimination diet is going to be a little different for everybody. I give you the starting point of gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts because those are the six most common. But there's also, you may be removing oxalate-containing foods. You might be removing histamines because you know you have an issue. We're going to remove them for a certain period of time, and then we're going to do a very specific reintroduction. And Karmjeet, you had a question.
Hi. It may not be the appropriate time, but you know, step 9, the reduce your toxic load. So I'm aware of my toxic load. Will you be covering parasites, like how to get rid of them, or should I wait to ask that?
That would be in digestion. Yeah, we have a whole 30-day parasite cleanse piece in the digestion. Yeah. And on toxic load, here's the thing. Sometimes, we really want to reduce our toxic load. And sometimes it's an environmental thing at work. So unless you're willing to find a new job or get them to let you work at home, it's hard to reduce it. And then what you have to do is build up the body and make a plan for how do you reduce it. Can I work at home 3 or 4 days a week or that sort of thing? If you're like a painter and you're using like oil paints or toxic paints, and that's a problem, wearing protective gloves, getting one of those Darth Vader type things. I used to wear it when I was in cadaver lab when I was in school, and I wasn't going to breathe formaldehyde for 3-4 hours a day. So I wore this thing and I looked like Darth Vader and the other people didn't, but I was protecting my body from that influx of stuff. And that's kind of stuff that you can be doing, especially if it's like you have a hobby and you're working at home and do ventilation and all that, but breathing in fumes from toxic art materials in a lot of ways can be a challenge. Even clay, I mean, most clay is okay, but there's certain clays and glazes that have a lot of toxicity in them. And if you're using it on your bare hands, you're absorbing that into your system. So reducing the toxic load, when people say to me, I want to do a detox program, what should I do? What should I take? Step one is reduce your toxic load. What is it that's in your environment? And that's why we take you through inventories and that sort of stuff. Elimination diet. Who has done elimination diets in the past?
I have. Me.
You have? Hi, Sue-Ann. Hi. So are they a pain or what?
Yes.
Yeah, they're a pain. Right? I'm not going to go say anything more. I was first trying this out. I was like, some years ago, 35 years ago. And I'm like, something's making me sick. Cause some days I feel like all this energy. And then some days I feel like, oh my God, where's my brain? It's completely gone. I don't remember my name. And what is it? Right. And we try, but unless we do it in a very controlled fashion, it's really a challenge to identify things, because if we go too fast, we eat too much, we combine things, we ain't getting trouble. So we had a program that we used to offer. We don't offer it anymore. I've just basically taken the content out of it and put it in here and in our ERC program, but in here basically. We called it FAST, Food Allergy Spy Training. It was all about being a spy and going in and finding your stuff. So I've taken a lot of the stuff out of here and I've set it up so that there's a really good video. It's probably 45 minutes long, right? Yeah, 42. It's a long video, but it explains the process. Now, you may not memorize what that process is from here, but you'll hear it that one time, and then you're going to look and see, and you have a transcript of it, so you can download the transcript, print it out, and take notes on there. But you want to see, you know, is food allergy or food sensitivity, we probably should change the names, the intolerances, an issue for you. So we give you a questionnaire for you to fill out. And it's basically asking if you have certain symptoms and or diagnoses. And then, you know, if you don't have any of these things, the chances are that you have food sensitivities are slim. But if any of these come up, which is most things that many of you are dealing with, there's probably a good likelihood. And, you know, you start with your score. So we start with assessments. I like to start with assessments just because I like it to be clear. You can either do the PDF or the checklist. Some of you get a lot of trouble with those online forums because of the size of your screen, or you're doing it on an iPad or an iPhone. They don't work real well on an iPad or iPhone. We are working on an app, which we're going to start working on in May, where it's a really designed to be done on the iPad and iPhone because so many people are using them. Tracking. Right, we give you a chart. Whoops, let me do the PDF one because I don't want to down here. Yeah, it's the same thing. So this is how you track. You know, eat foods on your customized. Keep it as simple as possible. But when you're going through, you're going to be tracking certain things and responses as you eat, because we're going to try to identify it back. This is one page. You print it out. You can have a bunch of them. So as we go through this and as you watch the video, you're going to understand what I mean by the stuff at the top. But we're going to come up with a plan. We're going to help you being tracking your foods to get an idea. And we also have a food frequency analysis in here. And here's another one, suspicious food tracking. So you can start with where you are right now. Foods that you feel great. Oh, every time I have a spirulina and green smoothie, I feel awesome. Every time I eat broccoli, I get gas or bloating. But over here. And, you know, sometimes when I eat this, I'm just not sure. You're suspicious. This might be an issue. And just start that at the beginning. Like, what foods are you suspicious about? What foods you know cause you a problem? And what foods make you feel great? And guess what we're going to start with? We're going to eliminate everything in the foods that cause me problems. You don't know how many times, that may seem so obvious. I have people come in and go, oh, it's just every time I eat eggplant, my mouth burns and my tongue hurts. And I'm like, and you still eat eggplant? Well, yeah, I like it. No. So we're going to start with the obvious, right? Take away those foods that every time you eat, you know, you have a problem. Then we're going to go, I think maybe mustard causes me a problem. Because most of the time when I have a sandwich and I put mustard on it, I have a problem. Huh. Let's talk a little bit about the bread. Let's talk a little bit about what else is in there. But if you're suspicious about it, put it down and we'll help you figure that out. The foods that make you feel great, that's going to define what you're going to be eating over the course of this elimination phase of the process.
I have a question.
Sure. Who was that? I can't see where it's coming
from. Rose.
Rose. Okay. Hi, Rose.
Hi. I don't understand about the oxalates and what it is that upsets me. I can't eat spinach.
Yeah. So oxalates.
I will be really sick.
Yeah, a lot of people like that, Rose. You're not alone with that. There are a lot of people who have oxalate sensitivity. There's a number of things that can cause that. One, a genetic tendency not to be able to break those oxalates down when they come in food. Two,
is that because I don't have a gallbladder anymore?
Probably not. But okay. Whatever the problems were that led you to lose your gallbladder, there were some digestive issues there that may have led to the oxalate sensitivity. So you likely have leaky gut. You likely have some food sensitivities as a result of the leaky gut. And when you have a leaky gut, meaning that the gut is not filtering out the stuff that shouldn't go into the bloodstream, then it gets into the bloodstream, it causes a reaction. So when you have a problem with oxalates, it's usually because they're getting into the bloodstream and then they're getting into your urine. They're not supposed to. They're supposed to be pulled out through the intestinal tract, okay? One of the things that some people are helped with who are sensitive with oxalates is to have like magnesium citrate with the meal that you're having the oxalates with, because the magnesium will bind to the oxalates and help pull them out through the gut. So that's one way to do it. What happens for a lot of folks, they end up with magnesium deficiencies, because if you're eating a lot of high oxalate foods, and you not don't have enough magnesium, it's trying to get rid of the oxalates, and you're going to deplete your body's magnesium. So that's definitely a good question. And as we work with like leaky gut, that's going to help to not provide that problem. The other thing is, we all know about the microbiome, right? The gut, yeah. Gut organisms. So there's a particular one called Oxalobacter, and it eats oxalates. So if you have a microbiome that's out of balance and you don't have enough of this Oxalobacter to eat the oxalates, they're going to, again, cause you some problem. Oxalobacter, unfortunately, you cannot go to the store and buy Oxalobacter the same way you can buy Lactobacillus or Bifidus or, you know, Acidophilus, those sorts of things. They haven't figured out how to isolate it and put it in a food. But Bifidobacter will help to feed the oxalate. So if you are looking to help with that situation, you might look into a Bifidobacter supplement. Bifidobacter is one of the many, and it's one that lives in the large intestine, and it will help you make more Oxalobacter. So that's a possibility as well. Okay.
Well, I'm in the digestive module right now, and you talked about doing activated charcoal.
Mm-hmm. Activated charcoal can help pull out toxins. So if you've got toxins that are either endotoxins, meaning created in the digestive tract by some of those bacteria, or just by fermentation and other products, or you're taking in toxins in your food, you know, and we all are, even when we eat organic, because face it, the world is a little bit polluted and there's cross-contamination, but you need the best you can, you're still going to get some toxins coming in. And charcoal tends to bind to those. You do have to be careful with charcoal because it will also bind to your nutrients and your minerals. And if you have charcoal with a meal, then you risk having some of the nutrients being bound to the charcoal and being pulled out. Okay? So charcoal is meant to be like last thing at night before you go to bed. There's other things like that. There's something called zeolite, which does a similar thing. There's a pectin, modified citrus pectin, that can do the same thing and pull those things out of your system. But just make sure you're not taking them with your food because you run the risk of pulling those nutrients out. Does that help?
Is there a particular kind of charcoal that you look for? Is there more than one kind of charcoal?
I've seen a coconut fiber charcoal, the bulletproof charcoal. I haven't researched to know if that's any better. You certainly don't want something that's from, industrial waste. Right? Something organic. Lynn, if you can find out who's unmuted. So I don't have a particular brand. I have particular brands that I like their products of. And if you go to the site where I think we gave you that link, the Doctor's Supplement Store, and it's, what was the URL in? unstoppablesupplements.com or unstoppablenutrients.com.
Yeah, unstoppablenutrients.com.
Unstoppablenutrients.com. And they carry most of the brands they carry. I can't vouch for 100% of them, but most of the brands they carry are really high quality. So if you go in there and just look for charcoal, you'll find something good.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Right. So you're going to track as you go through. We went through that. And designing your elimination diet. So there's a document and then there's a video. So make sure you watch the video to get the information or read the transcript of the video, either way. And then there's the learning to spot trigger foods, which is, where's that one? I think this is just that chart we looked at, right? Oh, no, you have, yeah, look at this one, the learning to spot trigger foods. So it teaches you, you know, it's the no-go maybe protocol, right? We have the red light, green light, or yellow light. The green light are the ones that the foods are great for you. The red lights are. And here's the foods that either you're allergic to, you know, leave you feeling badly, you know, you suspect an intolerance or read or heard that it might be problematic. Foods you've never eaten, no matter what the health benefits are. There are those. I mean, don't get me to eat durian. I don't care how much health benefit durian has. Unless I was dying and I knew it was the only thing that was going to save my life, I will not eat durian because it makes me gag and sick, right? So there may be foods like that for you. There may be foods like that that are religiously, pork or whatever, but are culturally not considered good. So what are those foods that you're not going to re-eat, you avoid because of health or spiritual reasons? Okay, this is a hard one, guys. All the foods you crave, binge on, or would continue to eat if you're no longer hungry. Who has some foods like that? Yeah, yeah. Those are the ones that are most likely to be the trigger foods, because there's an endorphin response to eating foods that are causing a sensitivity. And it goes like, I want more, I want more. And it bypasses the hypothalamus saying, honey, you're full. No need for any more. It bypasses the leptin signal going, we're good. And you just go, I want more. Who has one of those? Chocolate, sugar, bread. You know, those are the ones that we're going to have to avoid during our elimination diet. All processed foods. We don't want to eat garbage. We want to eat a whole food diet. Caffeinated beverages and decaffeinated versions of them. And the main reason I was talking to somebody about this the other day is even if they're decaffeinated, they still have tannins in them. And the tannins are very acidifying to the body and can be very harmful to the digestive tract. And caffeine itself can thin out the lining of the digestive tract. So I say during your elimination diet, you eliminate. Once you get yourself feeling the way you want to be feeling, you can test these things back in. But don't do it during your healing phase, your elimination phase. Alcoholic beverages, and you know, I get into disagreements with colleagues who go, but it's organic wine. It doesn't raise your blood sugar. Look at the biology. Look at the biochemistry. The way it works, the way it elevates fructose, the way it goes right to the liver, it's not good for you. I don't care if it's organic. Again, once you get your health back to where you want it, and occasionally you're at a wedding, celebrate, have a little glass of organic wine, it's not a problem. But during this phase, during this healing phase, especially when you're trying to work on your digestion and your energy, these are the things to avoid. Foods that contain oxidized fats. So most of you know about these already. Margarine, shortening, mayonnaise. The one you may not know about is heated oils, with a couple of exceptions. So if you take sunflower oil, if you take flax oil, if you take any of these unsaturated oils and you put them in a pan and you stir fry food in it, you've created free radicals and oxidized fats, which are damaging to your body. But if you take something like coconut oil, which is a saturated fat, or avocado oil, or olive oil, it's not going to create as much of that damage because most of those fats in there are going to be omega-9s, which are monounsaturated. But they'll still create some. So we still want to be careful about any kind of heated oils. And I'm an anti-oil person. I just believe that oil isn't a whole food. It's not that I'm a purist. It's not that I never eat oil. It's not that I haven't had enough omega-3s today and squirt some flaxseed on my thing because I don't want to go and deal with the chia porridge or anything like that. But I think it's just a fractured food. And the exceptions are somebody who's very impaired digestion, very thin, and you cannot get enough calories and you just keep fading away. That's where I start to say, let's add some oil because it's easy to get down. It doesn't really fill you up. It just adds a lot of extra calories. And as long as it's good quality, you know, unprocessed, et cetera. Okay. Questions about those things. That's what everybody's going to eliminate from their diet during the elimination phase, right? And you'll do a little testing beforehand to figure out what those things are. Then we're going to look at the top 10 most common food allergens. So gluten, and that is wheat and rye and barley, kamut and spelt and triticale. Somebody was saying how they were going gluten-free and I was having this conversation and she was asking about sprouting. She was somebody who was local. She was asking about sprouting. You know, I found this recipe for a bread substitute and it's dehydrated and I don't know where to get these things. It's kamut and spelt and wheat berries. I'm like, that's gluten. You just got finished telling me your kids are gluten intolerant. You know you're gluten intolerant. Don't eat it. Don't eat it. You know, so it's like knowledge is power. We have to know this. Dairy found in milk, cheese, but also anything that has casein in it. And we have a document that I believe is on this page, which is my, I don't remember what it's called exactly, but it's a directory of all the hidden sources of gluten and dairy. Corn, soy, eggs, peanuts. A lot of people are like, eggs are fine, but do you know that if you were immunized, which most of us were, unfortunately, in our age group, we didn't have a decision-making process. The vaccination was put in a carrier of albumin, egg albumin. So we wonder why a lot of people are sensitive and allergic to eggs. Well, we were shot up with, wherever it was shot into us, with the vaccine that was intended to create an immune response. And now we created an immune response to the carrier, and one of the carriers is eggs. So it's very high on the list. It's in the top six, peanuts. These are the top six. And then these are common, strawberry, citrus, shellfish, and chocolate. And I have a feeling that I need to avoid chocolate because I'll avoid it while I'm on a liver cleanse and I do fine. And then I go, oh, I'm going to have a little chocolate. I'll have it. And then the next thing you know, every day I want some chocolate. Like, ah, oh, I'm full, but oh, I haven't had my chocolate yet today. So that to me says there's some reaction, and maybe it's just the caffeine and I get a buzz from it. I don't feel a buzz from it, but those are the things I want you to be on the lookout for. Cause as I'm going through this with you, I'm going, I think I got to let go of my chocolate for a little bit and see what happens. And then as I say that, I go, right. And those are signs that you're addicted to something or that it could be a problem when I go, oh, I don't want to give up my chocolate. So those are the things that you're going to let go of. Then the highlighted foods that are the ones that are the green foods, the go foods, foods that you never or rarely eat. Like if you have symptoms that are happening over and over and over again, day after day after day, and you eat millet once a year, do you think millet is the likely culprit for your symptoms, right? So we have this chart, and I'll show you where to fill that in, where you get to fill out and find your rare foods. And we can create a rare foods diet for you. That's all the foods that you almost never eat that are brand new to you, as long as they're healthy foods. I mean, I don't want you to go out and get, oh, well, there's this new cousin of Twinkies called, you know, Winkies, and I'm going to try that because I've never eaten it. Maybe that won't cause me a problem. No, thank you.
Foods can you go back and revisit the citrus because people are asking about lemons?
Oh, yeah. So some people are sensitive. So you just have to check. So I would say for the like 4 days of an elimination diet, you know, pull it out and go back in. But if you don't have, well, here's the thing. If I don't usually have people get rid of all 10 of these during this time, I'll have them get rid of the first six for sure and then look to see how often they do it. Now, if you're on a citrus thing and you eat citrus every day, I'm going to want you to go a period of time without it, even lemon, right? Just to see. And if you find that you're better without it, you know, maybe it's a problem. Most people know when they're sensitive to citrus and strawberries and shellfish, at least, because they get very obvious reactions, very immediate reactions. And usually these cause what we call an immediate hypersensitivity reaction versus the others tend to cause more of a delayed hypersensitivity reaction, right? So, yeah, it's one of the top 10, right? So I would say for at least the 4 days, you do eliminate it. Okay. And that could be one of the first foods you add back. All right. So green foods that you've recently added to your diet because of their health benefits and you'd not eaten before your symptoms started. So say you're going along and you've had these problems and they've been going on for a couple of years. And then somebody tells you about hemp seeds. Hemp seeds are the food of the gods and they're full of protein, omega-3s, and you really should add them to your diet. And you start adding them to your diet and you eat them every day, but you never ate them before your symptoms started. So the chances of hemp seeds being a culprit are slim to none, right? That's why I always tell people when they're looking for a protein powder is that a good one to get is Sacha Inchi. Who eats Sacha Inchi on a regular basis? Anybody here? No. Okay. I actually ordered some Sacha Inchi seeds and nobody in my family liked them. So now I have a big bag of Sacha Inchi seeds sitting in. I'm like, okay, who am I going to give them to? You don't like them, man. I liked them at the beginning, but then they kind of did not grow on me. It's not like, oh my God, sprouted walnuts and I'll eat the whole, you know, the whole bowl. They were like, okay, I'm good. I heard somebody like a squeak. Are you waving? Yeah, she accidentally unmuted herself. And foods that you absolutely know are good for you. When you eat them, you just feel steady and strong and sustained. Some people say, oh, every time I eat an avocado, I test my blood sugar. It goes down. I just feel good. Great. Let's include those in there, right? So I'll show you the rare foods diet checklist. And then the maybe foods, right? They may be trigger foods for you, but they might just be digestive irritants. And when you start to heal your gut, you'll be able to put them in. So with the yellow highlighter, and you know, it's good. You go through your list of foods with your highlighter. I'll show you the list of foods in a minute. And you mark them. Things like sugar substitutes, stevia and xylitol. If you have a problem, right? If those have been a problem, stevia, generally most people don't have a problem with xylitol. Some people do. They tend to get gut problems. And don't ever give xylitol to the dog. We had a very recent thing where my son's dog got into a package of xylitol gum, had to be rushed to the vet, stay in the vet 3 days, stomach pumped, liver enzymes checked, and like it was really scary, so don't leave the xylitol around. But some people have a problem with xylitol. All the foods that you eat more than 3 times a week, except for those you've just recently started to eat, right? But if there's foods you eat a lot, then we're going to eliminate them during this short elimination period. We're not talking a 6-month elimination period. Some of these things we're going to eliminate for longer, but we're just talking a short elimination period. And then things that are grain and grain products like crackers and pastas and breads, they can be contaminated with gluten or contain hidden ingredients that are small enough quantity they don't have to list them, but you might be sensitive. So this is where we're going to go with this. Those are the suspicious ones. So we're going to start with the greens. If you don't have enough foods in the green, then we can look at a couple of the yellows. But we're going to try to get your food intake for these 4 days down to like under 10 foods, 10 foods or less. And that may seem like, oh my God, that's so boring. Yep, it's boring. But it's the best way to figure it out. And then you're going to start to add them back in. Okay? Any questions on that? So I'm going to show you. And I would say wherever you are in this program, unless you've already passed this and done this, then I would say, you know, let's do this together when we start to send those emails. So there's the food allergy detection assessment. Food frequency, I skipped that one before. So this is something you just get to go through. It may take you a little while. You can download the PDF if you want. And we just start with your first, the worst foods, the healthiest foods, et cetera, et cetera. But then you continue. And let me see if I can, I'm just going to fill this in with junk so I can move past it so I can show you what's in it. And I'll show you the lists because this is what I want you to see. Spend, you know, give yourself a good half hour to fill this out and think it through because it could take a while for you to really carefully and artfully assess. Okay, and then continue. All right, so then it shows for all of these different foods, it shows how often do you eat these foods, right? So it's never once a month, et cetera, et cetera. So all the way up to daily, 6 times a week or daily. And you're going to do this for all these different beverages. And then it has another category for meats, another category for grains, another category for fruits, another category for packaged foods, et cetera, et cetera. So you'll take your time, fill this out. And then what you're going to find out is, you're going to figure out is how frequently you eat certain foods. And you're going to try to start with how can I create an elimination diet that contains my rare foods. There's a doctor who wrote a book, and I forget his name, but his book was on allergy elimination. He called it the rare foods diet, the rare foods diet, the foods that you hardly ever eat. Now, if you try the food and you hardly ever eat it and you hate it and you don't, then you don't have to eat it. But let's figure out if we can get it down to 10 foods that we can eat or less. It could be less. It could be 5 foods. We did the identify your food triggers, track, we looked at that, diet and symptom tracker, that was that one we looked at, suspicious food tracking we looked at, creating your elimination diet menu plan. So you take the categories and based on how frequently you were eating them, you decide on a couple of things in each of these categories. Right. One of the things you can do for this elimination is you can do a 5-day water fast or a 4-day water fast. Another thing you can do is do some sort of a liquid, you know, protein powder type of thing. If it's a protein powder, you know, you tolerate. I used to use a product called MediClear from Thorne years ago before there's so many more of them out there now. And I would just give that to people and they would just do that for 5 days, 5 meals a day for 5 days. And that would get everything out of their system. And then we can carefully add stuff back. The other option for people who have a normal life and want to continue to eat foods is 4 days of, are there a couple of green leafy vegetables, a couple of salad vegetables, rainbow vegetables, just find foods in each of these categories if you can, or, you know, you don't have to have them in all the categories. I would eliminate the grains and legumes if you're blood sugar sensitive, but just figure out some of these foods and then plan your diet. Plan your diet for that week. Okay. There's recipes. You have recipes up the wazoo in the program. And just to remind you of where some of your recipes are, if you go up to the top of the page here on extras, we have the digestion recipe guide, the blood sugar, adrenal, thyroid. Any of these recipe guides can be used here. And I think we also have a recipe guide here as well. Yeah, here's a recipe collection. That's more of the hypoallergenic. So it's an 80-page document. And you may just be able to modify some of these recipes too. There's quite a number of recipes in here. Gave you an elimination plan idea. And then, you know, there's juices, there's smoothies, there's energy drinks. And you just adapt them to whatever your foods are that you're going to be starting with your 4-day elimination with. Does that make sense? Yes? And then once you're done that, we have a provocation diet video. And you watch the video, learn a little bit about it. I think it's also like 40 minutes, 25 minutes. Okay. Again, transcript if you prefer that way. You've got copies of all the slides. And then you also want to eliminate foods that hurt your gut and add in foods that help your gut during this process. So if you have no sensitivity to what's a food that hurts the gut, let's just say alcohol. If you have no sensitivity to it, you think you're fine with it, but it hurts your gut, you leave it out. So we're going to help you to have foods that hurt and foods that heal. So here's the foods that hurt. I'll show you. So you want to eliminate these during your process. Of course, your allergens, your alcohol, artificial colors and flavorings, aspartame, dairy, gluten, processed meats, etc. So these are the things you would eliminate. And then there's the foods that heal. And as long as they're not potential allergens or sensitivities for you, start to add some of these. Drink some chamomile tea, add some chia seeds, chicory, flax seeds, garlic, etc., etc. So these are good things that you can just add. And look at this list as you're creating that elimination diet and say, wow, thyme, I think I might have a parasite or something else going on in my gut. I'm going to try some thyme or turmeric, anti-inflammatory. Let me try some turmeric and that sort of stuff. Okay, I've gone through a lot and I don't want to overwhelm you, but all of this is repeated in the videos on here and all of this is here. Questions before I go on, I'm just going to make a couple more minutes on the provocation and then we'll open it up to general questions. Any questions on any of this? Has this been helpful, confusing? You see, kind of get an idea of where to go. I know it's not going to be something you're thrilled about because elimination diets are challenging. Are you saying something, Sue Ann? I see that you're muted. Let me see. Okay. I'm like,
yeah. Oh, hi.
Hi.
I'm sorry. I haven't been part of this. I'm recovering from knee replacement surgery, which has been a total nightmare.
No, I'm sorry.
Total. A month of hideousness. But anyhow, I mean, there are so few foods that I can eat at all because of the nausea and stuff. So I'm not going to do this now.
Well, you're probably already doing it, girl. Unbeknownst to you, you're probably already doing it.
Yeah, I'm doing a weird, I mean, it's like, you know, what appeals to me and what doesn't appeal to me, what I think is going to make me sick or not make me sick based on my reaction to the drugs. So anyway, and it's all wonky. It's not like But the problem I want to address here is once I do this, which I do intend to do when I'm stabilized. And I've had SIBO, small intestine bacterial overgrowth. And I went on the low FODMAP diet, which worked for me. And good. So some of the foods that are supposedly healthful.
Right. Are not for you.
Probably not going to work for me, but I don't know to what extent. And I certainly don't want to provoke that. You know,
yes. So here's what I would recommend is that during your elimination here, you're going to eliminate those low fat, those high FODMAP foods like you did before.
Okay.
Right. So that'll just be along with it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Uh-huh. So anything that might be recommended that would be considered.
Yeah, like chia seeds. You're going to say, nah, I'm not going to do chia seeds because it's a hot meat,
right? Exactly.
You're going to introduce them later and try them. But for now, and the thing about low FODMAP diets that most people don't know, and that's a specific kind of carbohydrate in these diets for those of you who don't know, but people go on them for years, and they're not intended to be gone on for years. They're
exactly
gone on for months while you're healing the underlying, and then you start to introduce them back. So same thing like an elimination diet. You just take them out.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's good, because I want to make sure that I don't, you know.
No, you don't want to aggravate that.
Yeah, like, okay, so asparagus is a rare food for me, but it's a high FODMAP, so I'm not going
to. Yeah, so it's similar enough in chemical constituents to things that you are sensitive to, and that's something to keep in mind, too. So if you never eat, ever eat kohlrabi, but you have a problem digesting broccoli and cauliflower and Brussels sprouts. Yes. Exactly. Kohlrabi's in the same family. Let's,
I know.
Yeah, leave it out.
Oh, don't do it. Very good. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. That's very helpful.
Yeah, you're welcome. Anybody else, Lynn? Is anybody else on the
Hi. Dr. Udomi.
Oh, there you are. I was looking over here. Two lists going. Yeah.
When I went through the videos, I had, I think it was like three questions in that section that you just went over. Can I ask really quick?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. I had marked them. Okay, so the first... Wait, I just saw it a second ago.
And this is good what she's doing. I want her to be a good model. Like, as you're going through, if you have questions, jot them down. Keep a notebook. Write, like, the name of the page and then the questions. And that way, when you get on a call, or just go to the Facebook group. You don't have to wait for a call to do that. Okay,
go ahead. I don't know the pages, but it was the section you were talking about. So one of the things you were talking about, okay, was protein molecules, like larger protein molecules getting into bloodstream. Then you said something about, you said you can get a buildup in the gut or in the brain and in your sinuses. So my question was, you know, since food is going through the body, okay, like downwards, how could it get built up in the sinuses or the brain?
Those products leak into the bloodstream. So those proteins that aren't digested well because of the lack of good digestion or lack of chewing in the digestive tract, they are big enough to leak through. And the leaky gut, after a while, the gut gets leaky. And it doesn't just filter out the fully digested amino acids and proteins and all that. So you get these bigger molecules in there. And then the immune system sees a piece of protein. It doesn't have to be a whole big protein, or it doesn't have to be a whole streptococcus, just a little bit of it. And it says, kill it. Let's get it. That thing's bad. That thing doesn't belong here, even if it's broccoli protein. Because face it, broccoli protein doesn't belong in the blood. It belongs in the gut to be broken down into amino acids and put in the blood. And then it starts this attack. And this attack can be happening in your bloodstream, flowing anywhere through the body. So if it's in the bloodstream, you know, by the brain, it can cause inflammation and what we call drive-by shooting in the brain or in the sinuses. It can also cause what's called molecular mimicry, which means that little bit of broccoli protein may be very similar to the proteins that are on your thyroid or your adrenals or your pancreas or your brain. And the brain, as the body's attacking, it goes, oh, there it is again. And instead of attacking that broccoli floating through, it recognizes it right here. Boom, 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 shooting bullets at it to try to kill it. Right? And that's when we get autoimmune conditions.
Wow. Okay. So I believe this is happening to me. Okay. So thank you for that explanation. And then you talked about nuts and seeds. It was on your, you know, one of your sheets, you know, where you're creating the rare foods diet. Like, now, what if you don't feel like, you know, you've got problem with nuts or seeds, but your blood type, you know, that diet, right? That, like, it says, hey, you know, having almonds and tahini, sesame seeds, like, those aren't good for you. Like, should you listen to that sort of stuff or listen to, like, well, how it feels?
You listen to how it feels. You take that stuff with a grain of salt. So here's the thing, right? There's so many, I call them the food religions. There's so many food religions out there. that if you tried to follow all the food religions, there would be nothing left on your plate. So we go, okay, so according to my blood type, tahini and almonds are not considered a good food. Let me see how I feel with a little almonds. Let me feel like how I feel with a little bit more. That blood type thing is not as specific as a food allergy, where it's an antibody that recognizes it. It doesn't matter if it's this much or this much. With the, you're going to have a problem. With foods that maybe are not compatible with your physiology, it's dose dependent. The same thing with oxalates. We were just talking to Rose about oxalates, right? It's not like every time if she hits on oxalate, it sends her into a crazy reaction, but it's the amount of oxalates because her body's not handling it properly, right? So we have to look at that because like most foods have some amount of oxalates in them, right? But not most foods don't have the gluten protein in it. It's just gluten that, you know, barley, rye, you know, those kind of things. And we stay away from those foods because even the little bit triggers the little memory cells to go, oh, there it is again. And then create this havoc in the body. Okay. So yeah, you can probably use that as a guide if you wanted to say, okay, here's some of the foods that are suggested might not be good for me based on various things, but it's always about testing.
Okay. Got it. And so, you know, on that oxalate thing, so like I remember doing an elimination diet and then eating really well and then going to the doctor and they said, oh, you know what? Now you got really high oxalates, this and that. It's like, you know, it's like you could try to do it right and then this thing happens and now they say, okay, then they gave me a new list of foods to eat, which had just a few little things that I could have because everything else was creating like high oxalate.
Yeah. This brings up a good point that I want to say is that when we address food allergies as if it's the food's fault, that's when we get into trouble. When we address food allergies as if it's, oh, my body is somehow out of balance and it's not handling this food properly, while I eliminate that food, I'm going to fix that imbalance. Now, the difference in that is certain things like, you know, sodium benzoate and glyphosate and some of the stuff that's just bad for everybody. Is bad for everybody. It's the food's fault because it's not really food. It's a chemical and it's hurting, right? But if broccoli is really good for me, but for you, it causes gas and bloating. It's not really that broccoli is a bad food. It's that broccoli is incompatible with the state of your digestion right now. It could be the lack of enzymes. It could be the lack of ability to handle sulfur, right? And that's where we want to tease out. But in the meantime, we want to look at, is it the bloodstream that the leaky gut that's allowing these big food particles to chew in? That's why a part of it, and the next thing after this is a digestion enhancing food principles, right? So we want to chew our food. We want to eat without stress because a lot of it comes from the stuff we all inadvertently do every day, which is eating on the run while we have cortisol raging in the system that's turning off the digestive tract so we can run away from tigers. There are no tigers in sight, but we're sitting down and eating food and putting it into a digestive tract that's like prepared to run away from a tiger. And that's what creates our problem. So we have to look at all of this, which is why I led to this after so many other issues. Let's deal with the stress. Let's deal with the exercise, the food. And you're going to see in the digestion eating, enhancing eating strategies is that thing we did at the beginning. We want to do that before each meal. We want to prepare your body for the goodness coming in. And yeah, we have to heal it. So we have to eliminate it for a while. We have to heal it. And sometimes it's a parasite and sometimes it's, you know, organisms that got in from somewhere and we need to calm it down and restore balance. But at the end of the day, it's not the food's fault. It's not that tahini is a bad food for people with B, you know, vitamin B. It may be that there's certain constituents in it that people with, you know, a blood type B may have certain enzymatic things that they don't break it down as much and can't eat as much of it. But we have to just find what works for us. Because seriously, if you were to say, I want to follow the blood type diet, I'm going to follow the low oxalate diet. I think I'm going to follow the low histamine diet and I'm going to follow the low sulfur diet and I'm going to do it as plant-based. You're like, ain't nothing left. We did a really good food a video. I do those classes every month. And if you're in our Vital community, you can go in and it's in the archives. But it was on food religions and how do you make foods that are low in oxalates? And then I said, okay, I'm going to try. I'm going to see if I can make something from all these different sensitivities. And I think I made like one meal and it was some weird thing, but I still was able, that's all I was able to come up with. Right. I was like, okay, there's not much else. There's not many foods that if you look at all the don't eat this columns that you're going to find, there's maybe a handful of four or five foods. You can't live your life eating four or five foods every day for the rest of your life. Yeah. Good. That's a great question.
This is actually very helpful. One last question was on the pain thing. So you mentioned in that last section that, hey, you're identifying these things so you can know, well, what's causing you pain and headaches and stuff like that. Well, what if you end up doing this right and then you're having a detox effect and that ends up causing a headache and stuff? So how are you going to be able to tell the difference?
Yeah, that's a good point. And it's just really, it's like, that's why you're in this community. It's like, ask and I'll ask you questions like to anticipate that in advance of all the different possibilities. We could spend a couple of hours, but if you do, and I ask you a question and then I go back and forth, here's the thing. A detox reaction is a short and sweet thing, severe, but short and sweet. So people, I have this funny thing and people will go on like a raw foods diet or a certain diet and they say, oh, I love this food, but I'm still detoxing. Oh, really? How long have you been on it? Just 8 months now. That's not detoxing. That's dietary incompatibility. And there's something wrong here. We don't detox. Detox reaction is the body gets in there and it starts to dump. And for a while you get this like, oh, just put me to bed right now. But the next day you feel like a relief. You feel better. That's a cleansing reaction. So there's a really good book on, I think it's called Healing Crisis. Fife, I think is the author, somebody Fife. And he talks about this. He goes, if you start a dietary change and you're noticing that you're having headaches every day and you never had headaches before, and it lasts for 3 days, 5 days, a week or two, that's called a healing crisis. I mean, a crisis, not a healing crisis, right? A healing crisis is short. The body goes, oh, get rid of this stuff, dump. Can't clear it out of your brain. Your brain may feel it and then you feel better. That's a healing crisis. The other is called a crisis and it's not right. You know, you're going too fast for your body to handle it. I see that a lot when people do, we'll talk about that when we get to gut. I see that a lot when people do the parasite cleanses or candida cleanse diets, that they take these really potent antimicrobial things and then they feel awful. Because when you kill those organisms, they have these toxins stored in their cells and they're just releasing them like crazy. They're like, I'm dead. I'm going to release this stuff. Boom. And it floods your system, right? And for some people who already have compromised livers, who already may have some brain dysfunction as a result of this, it ain't good. You got to go super slow. So I always err on the side of not getting as great a reaction or result right away, but going slow rather than putting somebody into crisis.
You are a world of wealth information. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you. Anybody else?
I saw that. Who had their hand up here? Robin.
Okay. Robin, go ahead. Is she unmuted?
I'm trying.
Oh, here I am.
Hi, Robin.
Hi. Yeah, for some reason I can't get my video to work today. My question was more, Aline, about the uploading of the assessment results, because I know you did give me access to the Google, but I only saw that you had some one of the things uploaded, and it was just the vitamin assessment.
I'm trying to get them all up there. If you have them, you got your receipt copy and you know how to upload them, just go ahead and upload all your assessments in there.
Okay.
What is this? Is it Google Drive?
Yeah, I have a Google Drive with everybody's assessments in there and the ones who've done the private coaching. That's where the recordings are going.
Okay, cool. Great.
All right, and then is it the same thing for the labs? Because I wanted to be able to put in my last set of labs that I had done with my doctor at the end of last year. So is that...
Labs are a little different in that there's a... let me go back to your pages. You've got a master tracker where you need to put them in. Like if I get on a call like this and somebody has loaded up all their labs from a doctor, I can't help you because it's like too many pages and it's all over the place. But if you put it in the CS master tracker.
Okay.
If you just, you're going to have to take the 10 minutes or whatever it takes to put them in.
Okay. There's
a thing in here. Lab results US.
And it's okay to upload the actual documents in there as historical documents.
Yeah, if you want to have all your stuff in one place, you can do that. But yeah, so this is where you would put your results. Now see, this says up here, make a copy, do not edit. There's instructions on the bonuses page where it says how to download it. But you basically either, if you're going to do it on your computer, you
have to download a copy of it and then upload it back
as Excel, right? Okay. The other option is you can, if you want to, you can just say make a copy, and then it's going to ask you where. That's my file templates. You're going to see all this stuff that I have, but you won't. You'll probably go back to your wherever your thing is. You're going to find your folder and you're going to click it, and it'll make a copy of it for you, and then you can edit your copy.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah, I was confused about that. I don't know if I was paying 100% attention the last time, so
it's a lot of information. Lost. So you know, and it's technology for some is new, this thing. But I love this ability to put these on a Google Drive, because then if you are on a call and you say, you know, I just got this back, I could just go to your list, and Lynn's going to give me a link to where all those are, because I have no idea. I didn't even know. Thank you, Lynn. But I'll have a link to wherever those are stored, and then I can go in there and look. But you basically, like, say you had three different lab tests done with your doctor. You know, one was in, you know, January. I'm just going to make it up. You put the date in there. You put like 2/1/19. Let's just say this one was 1/1/18. Oops. I can't type. And then this next one, you're going to put in like, say, I don't know, 4/3/19. And you have your glucose numbers, right? And you'll go through the first one and it'll be like your glucose number is 87 and your uric acid is 62. That's going to be really bad. this one's going to be 17. And this one's going to be, let me make sure I do this right so I can see a different, okay, 0.6. So you see how the boxes turned to different colors?
Yeah.
The ones that are green are, guess what? Yay, you're in the ideal range. The ones that are yellow mean you're outside the ideal range, but you're still within what the lab considers normal. And the ones that, like, this is way out, this would never happen. But the ones that are orange are going to be like way outside of the lab range. And so the lab ranges, we said this once before, the lab ranges are all about what's the average of the population that visits the lab. So you're in a geriatric population where, you know, a hospital and all sorts of stuff in that town, like, they're going to be really off and you don't want to be within that range. So I want to see you be in this ideal range. And so if you're outside this ideal range, it doesn't like mean you're about to die. It just means that there's imbalances. And what we've given you, this is the other reason for doing this, over to the side, you could say 62, oh, wow, I'm really high in this. I must be dying. Wow, I must have gout. I must have atherosclerosis. I have something. Doesn't mean you have all of those things. It means that those are all the possible things, and we start to look for clues. Like if you found four things that said possibility of gout, you're like, I may have gout. You know what I mean? I mean, uric acid alone is enough for gout. But then... like this one, blood urea nitrogen or creatinine. It could be a kidney issue if it's high. I put in low, so it's like muscle wasting or malabsorption. If you have a bunch of these that show you malabsorption, you better believe that that's something you should be paying attention to. Does it make sense? Yeah. I want to see you guys in the optimal range. So I'm also looking, like, if you have these old results and you put in like 87, 92, and 114, it's like your blood sugar is getting out of control and you're heading to diabetes, right? But if this was just the same all along, it's fine. Now, another one that's a good indicator, and I make Lynn make sure I erase these out because it'll be. If I scroll down to, where's a good one? A liver enzyme. Here we go. Here we go. Here's a liver enzyme. SGOT, AST, whatever. So like, say I'm at a 14 back in January of last year. And then in February of this year, I'm at a 22. And here I'm at 24. You would say, I'm fine, I'm green. But I would say, what's going on here? What's going on with your liver that you're consistently getting higher? Is there an issue we need to address? How can we support you in reducing your toxic load, you know, using nutrients to support and protect your liver? Do you see what I mean? This is where doctors don't do that. If it's in the lab range, they're going to say you're fine. And until you come out of that range, which means you may already have a pathology going on. See, so that's why this chart is just track of everything.
When you're saying like the in the range, are you talking about like the standard ranges or the functional?
So here's the functional ranges. This is the lab range that's pretty typical for, you know, this was for LabCorp when we did it from LabCorp. These may vary a little bit. But this is where we're targeting for is the functional. The ideal range is the functional range. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where you want to be. And if you're outside of that, it's like, oh, this is an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity for me to see where my body might be out of balance. The other thing that I look for in these, and we don't teach this in this level of depth in this, but you have access to this information here, is like if one thing's high and another thing's low, and they're both within normal range, I'm still looking at that. I'm still going, that's not quite right. Is there an imbalance? Where is that imbalance lie? I teach a, 20-hour lab interpretation course for practitioners. Maybe it's not 20 hours, but it's close, for practitioners to teach them how to read these things. So I can't really, for you guys, I'm just going to say, that's out of balance. This is what I'm thinking. Here's what I would look at for you. Make sense?
Yep.
Awesome. Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. All right. Anybody else? Before we just look quickly at the provocation.
How can you determine what things affect your immune system? I'm just wondering because my immune system attacked 3 toes in my right foot and dislocated them.
And how did you determine that that's what happened to those toes?
Because I'm being treated for a rheumatoid condition and those toes turned blue.
Yeah, okay, that's a good title. Yeah. So if you have already been diagnosed, seen the rheumatoid antibodies in your body is attacking itself. And let me just tell you one thing. Most people don't have one autoimmune condition. Autoimmune conditions usually come in sets. Right. Or it may start with one area, but it's going to be attacking other areas. So for you, it's attacking your joints. Your body's attacking your joints. You may also be attacking your thyroid. If you've never gotten tested, you wouldn't know that. You may be also attacking the cells in the stomach that make intrinsic factor that helps vitamin B12 to be absorbed. You might be also attacking, collagen. Right? Not just the joints, but some of the collagen tissue. You may be also attacking brain. And I'll tell you one story about a colleague of mine who many of you have heard of, Tom O'Brien. He did the Gluten Summit a few years ago, and he did a series called Betrayal on autoimmune disease. And when a lab called Cyrex first came out with their autoimmune panel, he was started running it on people, and he ran it on himself. And lab came back and said that he had antibodies, 3 different antibodies attacking his brain. And he wrote back, he went back to the lab and he goes, guys, you must have mixed my test up for somebody else. My brain's perfectly fine. I'm a very successful clinician. I have nothing wrong with my brain. They said, oh, we ran it twice. It's your brain. So he was like, what's going on? He didn't have symptoms. That's the problem. A lot of times we have autoimmune stuff going on for years before we have symptoms. Now, the stuff we're teaching you in this program is going to help you to restore balance so that you don't end up down that path. But if you already have some of those symptoms, it's already in progression and we need to help you reverse that. So there's an inflammatory section that's in, where is that one? Inflammation. Do we have that in? I can't remember exactly where it is, but we have all the things you need in this program to help you to restore balance, to help you to get inflammation under control. The fatty acids, super important. We go through that in the blood sugar balancing big time. So from the perspective of the question you asked, yeah, your immune system is in full-blown attack mode. It's in full-blown out of balance. And the issue is why? Autoimmune diseases, all autoimmune diseases have at least three components. One is a genetic tendency. Like there's some genes that say, yep, you know, your body is prone to attacking itself if the conditions are ripe for it. But number two, you have to have a gut issue. Everybody with autoimmune has been found to have some sort of a gut issue, a leaky gut issue, and that needs to be addressed because it's allowing things into the bloodstream to irritate the immune system. And then the third is some sort of a stress, whether it's heavy metal stress, whether it's mental, emotional stress, the death of someone, a job change, divorce, et cetera, or it could be a viral stress, like you're exposed to. You had mono when you were 17 and that virus didn't leave your body and it's just living there hibernating, but coming up. It could be a gut bug that's out of balance. You could have some overgrowth there. You could have H. pylori, some sort of stress or infectious process, plus the leaky gut, plus the genetic tendency, and boom, you've got full-blown rheumatoid disease. And here's what we're going to do in here. We're not addressing the symptoms. We're addressing the imbalances. So we're taking you through a process of identifying what's out of balance, identifying what habits are contributing, identifying some of the areas that you can clean up and take you through this process. So you're in the right place. I've seen autoimmune diseases reverse. I've seen people with full-blown lupus reverse it, full-blown Hashimoto's. It's really a matter of breathing through it. And let me just tell you that 30-day stress transformation is so important for it. And really, we all have an inner healer. You know that, because if you were to take a knife and cut your finger right now, you know that within 7 days or less, that area would heal over, right?
Right.
Do you like, oh, I hope that heals. I don't know if that's ever going to heal. Does my body know how to do it? Do I have to give it this? You just go, it's going to heal. Right? Unless it's hanging off and you need to get it sewn back on, you know, some kind of critical thing, right? Then you go to the doctor, you get it sewn back on. I had a break in my arm a few years ago and I swore that it was nothing. It was just a dislocation. I finally x-rayed it and realized it was not just a bone that was broken. The bone was broken. It jumped through the joint space. It was in the wrong place. And no amount of natural medicine was going to put my bone back where it needed to go. You know what I mean? So I couldn't do that. I had to intervene. But most of the stuff, we don't have to intervene except for taking the load off, except for getting out of the way. And one of the things that gets in the way is the lack of belief in your body's ability to heal, right? That lack of trust. And you go, okay, does it know how to do this? I have this thing in my gut. What if I do this wrong? What if I do that wrong? And that stress gets in the way of your healing process. It diverts energy from that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So you're in the right place. Just follow. Just follow. We'll help you modify it and personalize it, but follow along.
Okay? So is the gut where I need to start?
You need to start in module one, step one, and go all the way through module one, step 10. And that's going to be addressing your gut as you go along. Then you need to move to the gut. By the time you get to the gut, if you retest the gut assessment, you're probably going to find that you've gotten improvement already and you haven't even gotten to the gut program. This module one is all the precursors to all the other modules. Now, if you start in the other modules, you're going to get hit with this stuff. But we're having you do all this stuff up front so that you can go through the other modules a little bit more quickly than if you just took one module at a turn. We have people register for just the gut module or just the blood sugar, and you get the whole program. You get everything that's in there, but it's a lot for people. A lot of times it's real overwhelming because a lot of it's new. So if we're introducing you to all this stuff that's helping all of your systems, then when you get there to go, okay, now I'm going to focus on the bacteria. I'm going to focus on the parasites. I'm going to focus on the leaky gut, and we're going to help work on that. But all of it comes back to establishing those good habits that get out of the healer's way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can you drink the gut rejuvenator throughout the day or only in the morning?
If you're going to drink it throughout the day, just make sure you're careful with the citrus on your teeth and that you rinse in between with water.
Okay.
But it's intended to start the day because it's, you know, when we get up in the morning and have been sleeping, your body's working on the liver, is working on cleaning this and that and the other thing out. And we want to just like push things through the digestive tract, like a clean slate before you start putting food in it.
I started with the 16 ounces and then I'm kind of not up to drinking 32 ounces all at one time. So
that's right. Whatever amount you can drink is fine. There's no set amount.
Okay. I made the recipe and it was for the 32 ounces. So I thought
half today and half tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Then it takes you less time tomorrow.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. Who else?
There's a lot of questions.
Is it about this in particular or can I finish?
I don't know.
Okay. Here's what I'm going to do.
They just have their hands raised.
I'm going to take 5 minutes to finish the provocation and then you can go back and read it and then we'll open up for any questions. I just want to make sure there wasn't any questions about the stuff we just did, you know, to open up. So the provocation part. So you get to watch the video. You want to make sure that before you start adding foods back that you have eliminated the foods that hurt and foods that heal. And then we're going to create this reintroduction instruction. So there's the video plus there's this document that will give you information about the process and the forms that we use. So everything you need is in this document. So when you're ready for this, I don't want to go through all the details right now because we can go through it. You can read through it and then we can go through and answer your questions because it's a process. I laid it out so it's all in one document. So you've gone through the 4-day, 6-day, 10-day, whatever you decided to do for your food elimination process and you're ready to start reintroducing foods. A couple of days before, I'd highly recommend you read this, watch the video and highlight it. But it's got in this one document everything you need. The overview, it's got how to use the columns, it's got... Ooh, that's separated. I'm like, what's an odd reintroduction? Okay. And then it tells you what to do for each of those foods. And, you know, it repeats a lot of stuff. This gives you an example of this being filled in, the go slow and no foods, like what you should be putting in there. And then it gives you a blank. And I pre-filled in the no foods for you. Am I not nice? No, I pre-filled in the stuff that we want in your no column, no matter what. And then we're going to have you add and use this and start to introduce new foods, right? So say you've been doing a food elimination and there's like 6 foods you've been eating over and over again for 4 days and you're feeling okay. You're feeling better. You know, some of the bloating in your gut is down and some of the joint pain is down. And, you know, I'm really ready to add some foods. Start with the go foods. Start with the foods that are already, you know, a lower risk of putting you backwards. Because if you go and you start to go, okay, I'm going to have a piece of bread today, and it sets you back, you're going to have to wait till that gets out of your system before you can add any new foods. And then you're back to your elimination diet. So you start with the least suspicious. And once you've added enough of those, you can go with the slow. And it gives you all the directions in here. And as you go through it, if you have questions, we're here. Okay. And I highly recommend downloading that. 3 mistakes to avoid. Okay. Mistake number 1, starting the provocation phase too soon. You still feel like crap and you've been eating these foods for 6 days, but you say, I'm ready to eat other foods. It's probably not a good idea. going too fast. You go, oh, wow, I really want to start this again. And today I'm going to introduce rice and peas and broccoli. It might be too much, right? And not eating enough of the given food. So we really want to be testing the foods that you're adding in a large enough quantity that it's going to make a difference. If you have a little pea-sized piece of something and you go, okay, this food's good, and you put it on the good food, and then you go have a normal portion later on, you may find that you weren't right. So you give really good portions of it. And you can eat it as much as you want for at least 3 days or until it gives you a bad reaction. So if you sit down and you eat a bowl of rice and you go, ugh, and then you go, well, maybe it was just that it was the first food and it shouldn't have been that heavy. And then the next day you add rice and you go, ugh, you know, and then the third day you add rice and you go, ugh, rice isn't a good thing for you, right? Whereas if you just did, you know, you sat down and you ate a bowl of broccoli and you went, I'm not sure if that was really good. Let me do it again tomorrow. Let me do it again. If by the third day you're not feeling as good as you did that first day when you started, that's probably not a good food. And you can shortcut the cycle by adding a few of the foods in the same food family. But I highly recommend that at least for the first few days that you just add one food at a time and keep it simple on your digestion. Okay. All right. I think that's it, guys. Thank you for amusing me there. I wanted to make sure that you were clear on this. I know some of you are approaching it, will be approaching it soon. And I see your hand, Li Chao. And I want to make sure that I went through it with you. All right. So I'm going to stop my share. And now I can see more of you. Yay. Okay. So I see Li Chao, and then I see Kathleen's hands. And then there's a few over here. So go ahead, Li Chao. Okay. Let's unmute you. Wait. Okay, there we go.
Hi.
Hi.
I've been eliminating a lot of foods since January, the middle of January.
Yep.
And I really haven't adding anything in, but I've been doing the blood sugar monitoring with the freestyle. And right now I'm just down to just the protein powders and just the green apple and the blueberries with my smoothies for breakfast and lunch. And then for dinner, I'm still doing the protein powder with just the salad and the vegetables.
Okay. And how do you feel with that?
Because of I feel good, but then I feel tired. The shakes and the smoothies in the morning and the lunch I felt great. But then later on during the day, like before dinner, in the late afternoon, I feel very exhausted and tired and just so sleepy. But the thing is that I don't know when do I start adding back in the grains and the starches and the legumes, because they spike my blood sugar a lot. Spike That's why sugar. I eliminated
so them. Here's what you need to do, and this is all in the blood sugar piece. You need to do 30 days of keeping your blood sugar 110 or below all the time, and then you can start thinking about adding stuff back. And in the blood sugar part, we explain it all.
You know what I'm afraid of is that what happened after 30 days and I test my blood sugar and those grains that I had the spikes on, it still spikes. And
here's what you're doing. You're doubting your body's ability to heal. What my experience has been in the last 30 years of doing this with people is that at the end of that 30 days, you're able to add some of those foods back in, not necessarily all. It'll take a while, but you'll go, wow, I can now eat blueberries. I know Jane is like, yeah, we have done that. Now I can eat. But depending on how much of a genetic factor is involved with this and how long a problem has been going on, there are some foods you may never go back to.
And is it also, you also calculate in the portion size too, right? Like if you add in more than half a cup, then of course it spikes more too.
Exactly. Oh. So what I find personally for me, I have a lot of genes related to blood sugar imbalance. So I just can't go back and eat, you know, a meal of sweet potatoes and brown rice and all that because my blood sugar will go up. So I will pour a portion things, small portion with a lot of greens. So if I want to eat mango, I can eat mango. But if I sit down and eat a whole mango like I used to years ago, my blood sugar is through the roof. But if I cut that mango and I take a quarter of mango, even a half a mango, and I eat it with a whole head of romaine lettuce, and I go slowly, bite of romaine lettuce, a bite of mango, two bites of romaine lettuce, a bite of mango, and I go slowly, and then I savor that mango, and every bite I go, I'm enjoying my mango more, number one. because I'm going slowly, and I'm slowing down the absorption of the sugar because I'm going slowly, right, and because I'm filtering it with the greens. So it's all explained in minute detail how to do this in the blood sugar part.
Mm-hmm. But I don't have pre-diabetes. I have the lab test.
You have results. Pre-diabetes.
No,
sorry.
I do.
Yes, you do. You do.
You look at my blood results.
No, I don't have to look at your blood test. So you have. Okay, so there's. If I don't know if you've been watching, I'm doing another one on Friday. My webinar.
Uh-huh. Yeah, missed
it. I show the chart of the blood sugar. I even did it in the prereq thing for this, and I show the stages of diabetes. It starts with hyperinsulinemia years and years before, but nobody ever tests it. Then it goes to possibly reactive hypoglycemia, but you just think, oh, I get tired after I have to eat more often, and then you just eat more often, so you miss it. Then you go into pre-insulin resistance, where your fasting blood sugar is below 100, but you're spiking.
All the time, spiking.
Yeah, you have it.
Yeah. Her glucose on her last test was 59.
59, reactive hypoglycemia.
Exactly.
Right. So you're going way high and then way up. So you're making too much insulin. Your insulin receptors are not working real well. So your blood sugar stays high and then boom, it crashes when it gets stored in the liver as collagen or the fat cells. So yeah, you do. This is like in the blood sugar piece.
Okay.
And watch your email. I'll give you guys access if you want to be able to do the blood sugar by itself. You know, you can do it along with everything else, or you could just take time off and do it. But you already have access to the content. But if you want to, like, say, okay, let's do it with the group. Let's just do the blood sugar with the group. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that, right, mm-hmm. rather than having to wait until we get to that. Because if you do the blood sugar before the gut or the gut before the blood sugar, it's not going to be a big deal. Okay.
Yeah, I feel like I'm doing everything at once because I already eliminated so much and I'm just adding some.
That's just, doing one thing. You're doing one thing. You're doing elimination diet.
Right.
And sugar testing.
Sugar testing.
Right. And you're not ready to add anything back.
Not ready yet.
Go to module 3, which is blood sugar. Go to the metabolic reset page and the how to start adding things back when you're measuring blood sugar. The transition. You want to be in a hurry. We all want to be in a hurry. We want to just get back to, but you may never think it. You may never go out and eat bean burritos again.
And I like brown rice.
What?
I like brown rice. I'm tempting.
Okay. So, I'll give you an example. My husband, when we first started doing this was back in 2011, and I started testing. I said, okay. He's like, oh, I'm scared. Don't, you know, and he did it. He tested himself. And we discovered that brown rice shot his sugars into the 160s. But buckwheat didn't, or vice versa. It was, you know, it wasn't clean. It wasn't like, oh, they're all grains, so they all do it. No, it was very unique to him. So years go by, and he's really good about doing this stuff, and he's tested brown rice recently, and if he has a portion of brown rice with his big salad and broccoli, his blood sugar doesn't go up anymore. Right. So, and that it's not just about eliminating the foods, right? There's the exercise, there's the stress management, there's the movement, sleep piece, there's the timing, right? So all of those pieces come together. And I was pristine about my food. I mean, there's nothing wrong with mango. I was not eating junk. I was eating a pristine, clean diet for 25 years when I discovered this. But then I discovered, but I wasn't sleeping because I thought, I'm beyond sleeping. I'm too good to have to sleep. Look how good I am with my diet and lifestyle. I don't need to sleep. I was wrong because I had created insulin resistance, even though everything else was right. And well, I would say the timing wasn't always right because when you stay up late until 3 or 4 in the morning, what do you do at midnight? You get hungry and you eat, right? So my timing wasn't always so good. But I was pristine on all the other stuff. I was, you know, running marathons and triathlons and running every day and meditating and doing heart math and eating beautifully, but not right for my body. So we're helping you to find out what's right for your body, right? Don't be in a hurry.
Okay.
Right?
So what happened
when
What happened when I have the dip, like the hypoglycemia? What can I do to not feel so shaky or irritated? I tend to get that way. So can just drinking water help, you think?
And one thing I want you to do is when you feel that way, I want you to, you're doing the freestyle. I want you to take out your meter and I want you to test and see where you're at to see if you really are low or if you're really high. Because what I found with a lot of folks, that feeling of shaky, irritable, I have to eat. Their blood sugar was at 200. And it was so high that the blood, it wasn't getting into their cells, and the cells are going, feed me, I need food, I need food. My blood sugar goes down to 59 all the time. I've had my blood sugar go as low as 31. Wow. Feeling fine, going out running, right? Because I've learned over the years to get it balanced. And when I fast or do intermittent fasting for more than 18 hours, my blood sugar tends to go down, my ketones go up, and I feel great. But that's not where most of you are, right? You're at the point where when your blood sugar goes down, it's like, but you also might be feeling that when your blood sugar's high. So start with the meter, look and see, oh God, I feel that shaky, I have to eat, test it and see where it is, right?
I tested it, it was low, like 51, 56.
It was low. So yeah, so that's, then you can say, okay, that's the point. That's a point where you would want to have your next meal. Okay. And in the blood sugar part in the menu planner, there's a thing I call snack attack strategy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
All right. Read that. It'll tell you what the good snack attack strategy approaches are that aren't going to shoot it so high in the other direction. One of my coaches, she's in this, she was on earlier. She's doing a presentation now, and she's going to be doing a course for moms of diabetic kids, type 1 diabetic kids. And she calls it the eat and cover, right? And it's the same thing, whether your body's making insulin, too much insulin, or you're taking it. If you have too much insulin, it just causes a crash. And then what happens is in those diabetic kids, they give them candy to bring it back up, and then it goes too high, and then they shoot them up with insulin, and then it goes too low. And these kids are on this constant, awful yo-yo. And I don't want that to happen to you. So you're not taking insulin, but your body is producing it, right? Yeah. So when your body goes, oh my God, it's way low, it goes into an emergency situation and it produces cortisol to try to bring it back up. And you may feel like heart palpitations, right? And you feel like this feeling, yeah. The cortisol, it's right. A stress response, right? So what you need to do is, if this is consistently happening, yeah. You need to look at the meal you had before that, because even if it didn't shoot it up too high, it's causing a surge of insulin.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the foods that cause hyperglycemia way too high, but also the foods that cause hypoglycemia that we need to take out, and then just stick with the foods that keep it steady.
I see. But I'm just, my meal is very, it's like a routine now. It's the same thing pretty much with the smoothie. Blueberries or half a green apple.
Okay, and where
breakfast and lunch, and then dinner.
Sugar go up after that. What's the peak?
The peak after that is like sometimes 115, 116 with the green apples. It's a little bit lower on the blueberries, like 108 or 105.
Okay. So that's not too bad. It's a little
higher. Not too bad. But then when in the mid afternoon or late afternoon, it dipped down to like 78, and then it goes down to 61.
Okay, so when you start to check it, you have the meter. When you start to see it heading towards below 80, then you go, okay, I'm going to have my next meal or snack, right? I'm going to have another green smoothie, or I'm going to have another protein shake, or have some chia seeds or avocado.
But I try to keep it 3 meals a day and try not to snack in between.
I understand, but we are trying to adapt this to what your body's doing to try to stop it from going way down like that. Because when it goes way down like that, then you get that cortisol surge.
Oh.
You don't want to get you in that. So watch it. When it goes below 80, then just have an avocado. See what happens.
Okay.
Have some chia seeds. See what happens. Something that's not going to shoot the sugar up. That's more of a stabilizing.
Right. That makes sense. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Okay. Good job. Thank you so much.
Keep it up. Just be patient with your body. It knows what it's doing. Our subconscious knows better than our conscious. Can you control your heart? If you're going to go running, do you know how to tell your heart to beat at a certain beat to get you to be able to run at a certain speed? No.
It's
subconscious, right? The same thing with all the rest. We've just gotten in its way for long enough that it's lost track, and we just have to trust it. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
You're on the right track. Yay. Who else? We had Kathleen and then Marsha.
Okay. Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
No?
Yes. Yeah, okay. I can hear you.
All right, excellent. So,
I was just looking for you because your voices all come out of the same place. And you know how in life you look, you hear a voice in this direction. You look,
we're
all coming out of that speaker over there. So
I got that. I have actually been for years testing my blood sugar after I eat different things and I found out what I couldn't eat. But here's the thing. I told you that things changed after I had the spinal cord injury and a lot of it was due to inflammation and inactivity, et cetera, et cetera. I think the sleep factor was a big one. So even what I could eat changed. I joined this program called Mastering Diabetes, and you were actually on that whatever docuseries recently. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's a plant-based, no-fat diet. But they advocate eating a ton of stuff that I really can't eat, like eating like all fruits for breakfast. If I do that, my blood sugar goes up above 300, and I'm not kidding. And my stomach also gets upset from it. Yeah. On the other hand, like you, if I eat a big bowl of greens, then I can have even a whole piece of fruit or whole serving, depending on what it is.
Yep.
I found that out. But things like brown rice, it doesn't upset my stomach at all, but I just can't eat it. Even if it's like a tablespoon with a big salad, it makes my blood sugar too high.
Here's what the thing is, right? There's no one diet that's right for everybody. Some people do great on that all fruit diet. So somebody created that program because they got good results with that.
Right.
Their body worked with that. They're not going, he's not telling everybody to measure their glucose, is he?
No, and for example, I don't actually have a problem at all with avocados, and I like them. And in the course of a day, I might eat a whole avocado. And I was told you're eating way too much fat. That's the problem.
No.
I mean.
I disagree. I'm going to humbly disagree. I will say that I want to balance it to you. And when I first started in practice, I remember putting somebody on a diet like that. Low fat, plant based, high carb, lots of fruit and grains. And they did great. They lost weight. They felt great. Yeah. So another person came in and I'm like, Lay, all right, I know how to deal with you. You have the same symptoms as this other guy. She crashed and burned. It was awful. We weren't measuring blood glucose at the time, but it was like, uh-oh. So I started, changing it. And then she started losing weight, eating 6 avocados a week.
Yeah.
Right. And eating more vegetables and a lot less fruit. So it just depends on the person. And that's why we do the testing to ask your body. Now, will that change over time? Yes. But during the phase when it's hurting you to eat a lot of fruit, you don't eat it. And then once you get to the point where you can introduce it back, you try. Like, I can eat this, but I used to love mangoes and I'd eat them. Like, there's a mango been sitting on my counter in the fruit bowl for like a week and nobody's eating it. And it's not like it's saying to me, oh, I'm just going to eat it. I'm so tempted. Like, nah, I don't need my blood sugar to go shooting up. Yeah. So I haven't eaten it. Right. And you just have to adapt it to you. And that's why we're here doing the measurements. And I'm more power to them. They're helping so many people.
And I know they are, but they really couldn't help me and also wouldn't believe that they couldn't help me.
Well, that's the thing. That's where dogma comes in. And that's why I call it a food religion. It becomes a religious fervor. My way is the right way. And if it doesn't work for you, you're doing something wrong.
And here's another question. I mean, here's the whole thing with salt. I generally find that I feel better if I have a little bit of salt. Like, for example, if I have grapefruit, and I like grapefruit, it doesn't bother me at all.
It doesn't make you sugar? Awesome.
And if I put a little bit of salt on it, it doesn't upset my stomach at all.
Yeah.
For example.
Salt is not poison.
I use a high quality sea salt. It's not bad salt. I wouldn't eat bad salt.
The one thing I will agree with them on, and they probably do the no oil. I agree with that because oil doesn't have any redeeming factors except for calories and fat, except in the skinny folks. That's not you. You're not struggling with trying to keep your weight.
Yeah, they do the no oil, but I make a really outstanding salad dressing with about I don't know. I would say about a quarter of a cup of cashews to about a cup and a half of roasted vegetables. And I love it, and I put different spices and stuff in it, but they were like, oh, you can't do that. That's way too much fat.
It's whole food fat. If it causes your cashews, sometimes do cause people's blood sugar to go up, so you watch that. But it's not oil, right? I thought you were going to say right. A cup of olive oil, and I'm like, okay, how can I tell?
No, I get that. No, and I'm
not. Fat is not the enemy, but we all have different quantities of fats that we need based on our prior history, our prior. You've got a spinal cord injury. You need to repair your spinal cord. Your brain is like 60% fat. Your myelin sheets, your sheets around the spinal cord. Fat is not bad. The same way carbs are not bad. And if you're going with the paleo thing, it's carbs are evil. Carbs are not bad. It's the right amount of carbs. If we saw the webinar I did the other day, what are the three big food mistakes that everybody, most people are making? One is the wrong kind of fat, too little fat or too much fat for you. Too much carb for you or too little carb for you, right? So you're on the right track. Measure, measure, measure. See how you feel. I feel great after I ate a big salad with this cashew roasted vegetable dressing. I feel awesome. Great. It's for you. It goes on your yes list.
That's how I am reacting. I have...
Can I say something really quick on this?
Yeah.
The other piece is the amount. So if you find you're having a reaction with a certain amount, reduce it, you know, and because Dr. Rita Marie is always saying go low and slow.
Right.
Well, that's what I did with the brown rice. And I just found out that even like a couple of tablespoons, I couldn't do it with the big salad. I used to be able to eat lentils, but I can't seem to eat them now. I hope at some point I can reintroduce them because I really like them.
I mean, maybe you would reintroduce them as part of a salad with sprinkling of some lentils on it, and maybe you sprout them first, and you lightly cook them and you put them on. So it's all a matter of finding how foods work. And what Lynn said was so true about fats, right? It's quantity. How good is your gallbladder at producing bile? If you've been under stress for a long time, and you've had some issues for a long time, it might not be so efficient. So we have to give it fats that are already like soaked and sprouted and are easy to digest. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. And then I have just one other concern. I actually have said to my endocrinologist more than once, wouldn't it be good to find out how much insulin I'm making? And she absolutely says, no, there's no need for that.
Okay. So you go to runmylabs.com.
Right.
And you choose the insulin and also choose C-peptide.
Right.
Because that shows you the capacity of your pancreas C-peptide. And how much you're making. Yeah. And we want to know that right up front. Because if I want to know, are you not making enough insulin? Is your pancreas worn out that it can't? Or are you making way too much and we need to calm it down?
That's what I think too.
She also
is under the impression that as long as blood sugar is under 7, it's fine. I said, shouldn't it be down to 5? And she says, oh, no, you'd pass out. Those were her exact words.
This is just miseducation. They're not trained in this. They're trained in the treatment of disease.
Yeah.
Right? All right. They're not trained in keeping you from getting disease or detecting disease when it's in the process of forming and stopping it. They're trained in dealing with the disease, and they're not very effective at that because they think that a hemoglobin A1C of 7 or under is considered good. No good.
Oh.
Right? We'll get you there.
And when I brought up fasting to her, she said, oh, absolutely not. You can't do fasting. And so I even gave her some research studies about it, and she's like, no, absolutely not. I just don't think I'm going to go back to her if you want to.
I would. I'm glad you said it, not me, because that's what I was thinking. Well, I'll tell you a story. A guy that wanted to fast, he had diabetes and Crohn's disease, or ulcerative colitis and diabetes and hypertension, was on all this medication. And he heard about what I'd done. He goes, I just want to fast. I just want to do it. And I'm like, I can't, guy. You know, you know, I don't want to take you through. He wanted to fast for 28 days. He had that in his head because I had done that. And so I finally, you know, agreed under certain terms that we were going to have communication with his doctor. At first, the doctor's going, you're nuts, you know, you're nuts. But he kept going in just to get the testing done, just to make sure he was okay. And after a while, the doctor said, you know, I've been telling my patients about you. He goes, I can't believe it. You're fasting. Your blood sugars are normalizing. Your blood pressure's normalizing. I can't really recommend it to people, but I'm telling my colleagues that I'm telling my colleagues and my patients about what's happening with you. And the guy, you know, he got off his insulin. He got off his metformin. He got off his blood pressure medication. He lost 50 pounds and he felt great.
So if I wanted to do the fasting, I know that my primary care physician would work with me. What should I ask of her?
Here's the thing. I can't recommend that you do extended fasting. This was a guy who lived locally that I could, you know, and I know his wife well. She's a friend of mine. Mm-hmm. I could get on the phone with her at any time and say, how's he doing? What, you know, check his eyes, check this and that, check his blood pressure, check his pH. You know, they were testing ketones. So I could do that and I could, you know, and they paid me a lot of money to do it, by the way, because it was a lot of my, you know, a lot of time.
Yeah.
Right. But I don't want to do, that's not something I want to do. But going away to a fasting place or doing a series of short 4 to 5 day fasts with some feeding windows in between. And then you go back to the fasting because over a long period of fasting, you really have to have somebody, you really want to be monitoring your electrolytes and your pressures and, you know, some other things and have somebody who knows what they're looking for in terms of, wow, this is not going right. Most people don't get in trouble with a 4 or 5 day fast. You may feel like you want to die, but you're not going to die. You just want to kill yourself, but you're not going to die. You know what I mean?
Are there any places you recommend to go to for the long
term? Where are you? What location? Where do you live?
I live in Colorado.
Oh, well, you can go out to, there's Gabriel Cousins' place, but they don't do a full fast. The guy in Pen Grove, California, True North.
Yeah, True North, place, yeah.
They monitor really well. Right. That's where, if anybody knows, John McMahon, who did the iThrive series.
Right.
That's where he went, and I just saw him the other day. We were on a Skype thing, and I'm like, look at you. He's like, climbing Kilimanjaro. When he came to my house to interview me, he was hobbling in, you know, way overweight on these orthopedic boots that they put on him because he had ulcerations in his feet. They thought he was going to lose his feet. Now he's climbing mountains and he went to True North.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And then we're here for you. Like what I say to people, it's great to go to those places, but have a support system in place when
you're right, you absolutely.
You know? Because if you just go there and then you come back and a month later you're eating Twinkies again.
Oh, no. I've been eating good food for
a while. You sound like you really know what you're doing. You just need a jump start.
And what I like about this program is that it's the whole body. It's not just one thing. So, all right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And we had Marsha. Oh, where'd Marsha go? And Carmit. Okay. Marsha, are you no longer there? She got tired of waiting. She probably had to go somewhere. I'm way over. One thing you'll know about me is I have a hard time leaving if there's still questions. There you go, Kamji. Sometimes I have to because I have another call right after. So some of our calls won't be as leisurely as, you know, this. But I'm here. You're here. So anybody that wants to stay, anybody that doesn't, feel free to leave. Thank you so much for being here. And I'm just going to stay and answer whatever questions are left. So, Kamji.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And Marsha had actually written a note saying that she had another meeting, but she had a question about how do people get lab tests in Canada?
Oh, yeah, that's where you have to wine and dine the doctor. That's a tough one because, you know, sometimes you can go to a naturopath, which you have to pay out of pocket for. It's not covered by health insurance, I don't think, and ask them for the testing you want. Some of the doctors will do the testing you want. And I heard that there are maybe some labs that can help that are willing to do off the street, but I'm not sure about that. Yeah.
Okay, that was her question. My question is related to, so last time I had the call with you, you had recommended for the leaky gut. Okay, so I'm day 8 of 40 of the leaky gut thing, and I started the Medicare Clear Plus that you mentioned, and I started the caprylic acid.
Yep.
So I'm taking like four of those. So I'm quite constipated, very fluffy, and things like that. So I wanted to see, I saw your document on some things that help the leaky gut. You said something like, I wrote a few of them down, like DGL, vitamin B6, B1A, zinc. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I wanted to see, is there something specific that for sure will heal the leaky, because I'm still so bloated and stuff like that. So,
bloating doesn't necessarily mean it's leaky gut. So the bloating is not necessarily from that. The bloating could be from the organisms down in your gut that are like, and producing hydrogen gases, methane gases, things like that. When you get bloated, are you getting bloated immediately after eating, or is there a time lapse?
No, so I get bloated immediately after, and it's kind of stayed the whole time. So my family was surprised that, okay, I'm 7 days, I haven't eaten anything, and I still, you know, like,
look. Well, haven't eaten anything. Are you fasting or just doing the MediClear?
So I'm doing the, because of lots of inflammation problems, so I couldn't do the other fasts that you had recommended. You know, you had the three, so I couldn't do those. So for me, it was, so I'm mixing three things. MediClear Plus, and sometimes it's the ancient, you know, that company's bone broth protein. And mm-hmm. then also I'm doing the Garden of Life's, their meal, their really good meal, okay? So okay. I'm doing those, but that's about it.
And okay, so stop right there, because here's what I'm going to say. The MediClear is hypoallergenic. It's designed to be hypoallergenic. The Garden of Life is great. It's whole real food in there. So there's something in there that might be aggravating you. So what I would recommend you do is the bone broth unlikely is to be, you can do the combination of the bone broth with the MediClear and that's it. And just do that for 2 or 3 days. You may have to take 5 servings up throughout the day. But that's what I would do and see if you get the same reaction. I'm having a feeling because some of these are like you read the ingredients and there's 27 different things in them and they're all good. But sometimes they're going to affect you. And whether it's, I don't remember whether it's a pea protein or a rice protein or whatever the kind of protein is in MediClear. It used to be, years ago it was rice, but now I think it's pea. But you want to find what bothers you. So you're still eating some, if that's all you're eating, it's in one of those things that's aggravating you. And it's not really the leaky gut. It's usually the gut flora or the, like if you have SIBO going on in the large small intestine. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So I don't need to start any of the supplements.
I would start with just do that for 2 or 3 days and just see, and then add the supplements slowly.
Okay. Got it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Remember Lynn said before, slow and low and slow. That's what I, you know, because sometimes it's just a simple, like even the cellulose capsule, some people are sensitive to. I've had people do allergy tests and the cellulose on the capsules shows up.
Okay. Got it. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right. So I don't see any more hands up. Let's see. If anybody has any questions, your last chance is to just go ahead and spurt it out. Otherwise, we'll end it for today. We still have 26 of you here after over 2 hours. So you're very dedicated. Thank you. All right. Well, I'll mute your line so we can all say goodbye. And I appreciate you and we'll be together again. I'll send you guys an email related to if anybody really, a couple of you, it sounds like really need to do the blood sugar piece and get that support. And I'll give you, you know, what you need to do to get that and get that going and get that guidance, like step by step by step. I just put the schedule together in between the office hours calls and we're going to give a bonus of the vital healing calls, the vital Q&A calls and then my calls. And it comes out to be like a call every week from now till the beginning of August. So you get tired of me, but you know, at least you'll get your questions answered on a regular basis. Plus you have these calls. So you guys will have even more than that if you do the other piece as well. So, all right, guys. Bye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. 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 Bye.